And the Afterglow is made possible in part by the generosity of Superior Energy in Vernon. Superior service you deserve. Serving the residential and commercial propane needs of Connecticut and Southern Massachusetts since 1939. Now is the perfect time to learn about the efficiency and cost-saving benefits of being powered by propane. With 24/7 support and state-of-the-art scheduling technology to simplify your busy life, just sit back and leave all your heating, cooking, and energy needs to the experts at Superior Energy. Your energy bill and the environment will thank you. Call 800-242-0427 or visit propaneCT.com.
Good evening. Yes, we're together in the Afterglow. Hi, I'm Father John. Welcome to our time together to transition from the hectic to the relaxed. So put away the cares and the concerns and the obligations that cause you to worry about solving tomorrow's challenges that haven't even yet arrived. Carpe diem, as they say. This is the moment at hand. So seize the moment. Take from it all that God is giving you right here, right now. Live in the present moment with its gifts and possibilities, rather than trying to relive what happened during the course of the day, what you did that you could have done differently, shoulda, coulda, woulda done differently, if only you knew what was going to happen. Oh, come on, get over it. You can't live in the past. Pick up the pieces, and we'll move forward together tomorrow. Always believe in yourself. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Work hard to achieve success. When things are not going right, don't give up. Just try harder. Give yourself freedom to try out new things. Laugh and have a good time. Open yourself up to love. Take art in the beauty of nature. Be appreciative of all that you have. Help those less fortunate than you. Work toward peace in the world. Live life to the fullest. Create your own dreams and follow them until they are a reality. See that? There are secrets to be discovered and shared right here in the Afterglow. You and I together in the Afterglow on WJMJ. Together we unwind, relax, and get life into balance. I'm Father John. Pleased to make your kind acquaintance. Let's spend some time together as friends. Today marks the initial founding of a group that has helped many people over the years transform their lives for the better. In the 1930s, the Oxford Group was an organization that helped alcoholics sober up using scientific methods. Businessman Bill Wilson joined the group and felt a spiritual renewal while recovering. He began traveling the country to cure people's alcohol addictions when he ran into surgeon Bob Smith, who had a constant struggle with staying sober. Wilson helped Smith stop drinking alcohol, and together on this day in 1935, they started a new group that would be named Alcoholics Anonymous. The group teaches members to submit to a higher power in order to curb their addiction. They then have 12 life-altering steps in order to help people quit drinking and get their lives back on track. Over the years, alcoholics have used these 12 steps to achieve and maintain sobriety, as the group still has over 2 million members today. From June 10, 1935 to this very day, for 86 years, Alcoholics Anonymous has been providing a path to sobriety for those in need. Now, our part of the world gets its fair share of stormy weather, heavy winds, lots of rain, and most dangerously, lightning. Lightning is one of nature's deadliest and most powerful occurrences, with the odds of being struck by a bolt of lightning in your lifetime set at 1 in 3,000. And on this day, back in 1752, one of our founding fathers set out to find out more about lightning. Benjamin Franklin. Yes, that Benjamin Franklin always wondered about lightning and whether it was electrical in nature, so he set up a test to see if lightning would pass through metal. He did this by tying a metal key to a kite and flying said kite during a thunderstorm. Now, don't try this at home. This kite flight ended up confirming Franklin's theories, and from his discovery came many terms that are still used today when referring to electricity, including battery, conductor, condenser, charge, discharge, uncharged, negative, minus, plug, electric shock, and electrician. Franklin understood that lightning was very powerful and also very dangerous, and that's why he also invented the lightning rod to help protect people, buildings, and ships. Many scientists would go on to refine Franklin's discoveries, but tonight in the Afterglow, we remember the kite flight that helped us understand the electricity that powers our modern world. So, let's go fly a kite.
With tuppence for paper and strings, you can have your own set of wings. With your feet on the ground, you're a bird in flight. With your fist holding tight to the string of your kite. Oh, let's go fly a kite up to the highest height. Let's go fly a kite and send it soaring up through the atmosphere, up where the air is clear. Oh, let's go fly a kite. When you send it flying up there, all at once you're lighter than air. You can dance on the breeze over houses and trees with your fist holding tight to the string of your kite.
Oh, 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 let's go fly a kite up to the highest height. Let's go fly a kite and send it soaring up through.
Well, you're in the Afterglow on WJMJ Catholic Radio, where faith meets life. That was called Let's Go Fly a Kite, and it's from the soundtrack of Mary Poppins. Now, here's where we take some time to appreciate wisdom from the instruction booklet on life. So we journey toward the intersection of where faith meets life. The number one problem that keeps people from winning in the United States today is lack of belief in themselves. Napoleon Hill once said, "Whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve." In fact, the mind is such a powerful instrument, it can deliver to you literally everything you want. But you have to believe that what you want is possible. Scientists used to believe that humans responded to information flowing into the brain from the outside world. But today, they're learning instead that we respond to what the brain, on the basis of previous experience, expects to happen next. Doctors in Texas, for example, studying the effect of arthroscopic knee surgery, assigned patients with sore, worn-out knees to one of three surgical procedures: scraping out the knee joint, washing out the joint, or doing nothing. During the nothing operation, doctors anesthetized the patient, made three incisions in the knee as if to insert their surgical instruments, and then pretended to operate. 2 years after surgery, patients who underwent the pretend surgery reported the same amount of relief from pain and swelling as those who had received the actual treatments. The brain expected the surgery to improve the knee, and it did. Why does the brain work this way? Well, neuropsychologists who study expectancy theory say it's because we spend our whole lives becoming conditioned. Through a lifetime's worth of events, our brain actually learns what to expect next, whether it eventually happens that way or not. And because our brain expects something will happen a certain way, we often achieve exactly what we anticipate. This is why it's so important to hold positive expectations in your mind. When you replace your old negative expectations with more positive ones, when you begin to believe that what you want is possible, your brain will actually take over the job of accomplishing that possibility for you. Better than that, your brain will actually expect to achieve that outcome. You can be anything you want to be if only you believe with sufficient conviction and act in accordance with your faith. For whatever the mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve. When Philadelphia Phillies pitcher Tug McGraw, father of legendary country singer Tim McGraw, struck out batter Willie Wilson to earn the Phillies the 1980 World Series title, Sports Illustrated captured an immortal image of elation on the pitcher's mound, an image few people knew was played out exactly as McGraw had planned it. Tug was asked about his experience on the mound that day. "It was as if I'd been there a thousand times before," he said. "When I was growing up, I would pitch to my father in the backyard, and we would always get to where it was the bottom of the ninth in the World Series with two outs and three men on base. I would always bear down and strike them out." Because Tug had conditioned his brain day after day in the backyard, the day eventually arrived where he was living that dream for real. McGraw's reputation as a positive thinker had begun 7 years earlier during the New York Mets' 1973 National League Championship season when Tug coined the phrase, "You gotta believe," during one of the team's meetings. That Mets team, in last place in the division in August, went on to win the National League pennant and reach Game 7 of the World Series, where they finally succumbed to the Oakland A's. Another example of his always optimistic, you gotta believe attitude was the time while he was a spokesman for the Little League that he said, "Kids should practice autographing baseballs. This is a skill that's often overlooked in Little League." And then he smiled, his infectious smile. That's where faith meets life.
No matter how hard I try, you keep pushing me aside. Talking to you, it's so sad that you're leaving. It takes time to believe it, but after all is said and done, you're gonna be the lonely one. Oh, do
Yes, that was Cher and her influential hit, Believe. And we're in the Afterglow on WJMJ, our time to bridge the gap between day and night with music, reflection, meditation, and a whole lot of relaxation. Thank you for spending a bit of time with me. I'm Father John, and I hope you enjoy our brief encounters each day in the Afterglow as much as I do. Each day presents us with some kernel of fact or fantasy that stimulates the mind and helps to situate us in time and history, for instance. Today marks the birth anniversary of a famous children's author and illustrator. Maurice Sendak was born in 1928 in Brooklyn, New York. In a career spanning more than half a century, Maurice Sendak wrote and illustrated many notable children's books, including In the Night Kitchen, Kenny's Window, and, of course, his most famous work, Where the Wild Things Are. The picture book is where I put down those fantasies that have been with me all my life and where I give them a form that means something, he once said. He goes on to say, I live inside the picture book. It's where I fight all my battles and where hopefully I win my wars. Widely regarded as the first picture book artist to deal openly with children's emotions, Maurice Sendak received numerous awards for his work, notably the Caldecott Medal in 1964, the Hans Christian Andersen Award in 1970, and the Laura Ingalls Wilder Medal back in 1983. He passed away in Danbury, Connecticut on May 8th of 2012. A true artist, Maurice Sendak, born on this day back in 1928. He would have been 93 years old today. And also today marks the birth anniversary of an actress and singer that Fred Astaire once described as the greatest entertainer who ever lived. Frances Gumm was born in Minnesota in 1922. Woo! Well, she started her entertainment career in a singing group with her sisters called the Gumm Sisters. They changed their performing name to the Garland Sisters, and Frances changed her first name to Judy. After the music group broke up, Judy Garland decided to pursue a movie career. MGM signed her and cast her as the girl next door in many films with Mickey Rooney. But it was one film and song that would change her career forever.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Judy Garland landed the role of Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, which made her a star. She was then given the lead role in other famous movies such as For Me and My Gal and Meet Me in St. Louis. Unfortunately, her later career was plagued by prescription drugs and marital problems, which caused her to lose roles. Judy Garland was still able to shine on the stage throughout her career, and we will always remember her amazing voice. Remembering Judy Garland on her 99th birth anniversary in the Afterglow, here she is with a smile.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there's a cloud in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your fear and sorrow, smile, and maybe tomorrow you'll find the sun comes shining through. If you light up your face with gladness, hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find is still worthwhile if you just light up your face with gladness, hide every trace of sadness, although a tear may be that life is still worthwhile if you just smile.
On Judy Garland's 99th birth anniversary, that's the song that offers great advice with a message to live by. Smile. Well, as we enjoy our time together in the afterglow, God paints a perfect picture of faith and hope in the colors of a setting sun. And as the day fades into night, we take time to relax in the afterglow. Sunset will take place at 8:25 this evening, with an afterglow that will last until about 8:59. Total number of daylight hours today was, or will be, 15 hours and 8 minutes. Keep those days getting longer and longer. It's a good sign. Well, it's now time to learn some lessons. Lessons from geese. You see, their migration is an awesome sight. There is an interdependence in the way geese function. Fact. As each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird following. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew alone. Lesson: people who share a common direction and sense of community can get where they are going quicker and easier because they are traveling on the thrust of one another. A shared vision and sense of purpose create synergy, making the going a little easier for all. Fact: whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to fly alone. It quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the uplifting power of the bird immediately in front. Lesson: if we have as much sense as a goose, we will stay in formation with those that we see who are headed where we want to go. Fact: when the lead goose gets tired, it rotates back into the formation and another goose flies at the point position. Lesson: it pays to take turns doing the hard tasks and sharing leadership. People, as with geese, are interdependent upon one another. Fact: the geese in formation honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. Lesson: positive encouragement is a strong motivator. We need to make sure our honking from behind is empowering and not something less helpful. Fact: when a goose gets sick or wounded, two geese drop out of formation to follow him or her down to help and protect their fallen companion. They stay with him or her until he or she is able to fly again or dies. Then they launch out on their own with another formation or catch up with their flock. Lesson: if we have as much sense as the geese, we will learn to stand by each other as we are achieving our goals. Yes, we can learn a lot from geese. Something to think about.
High above, twisting streams, you and I, sharing dreams, floating free. Feels like we're flying. flitting by fields of snow on the ground far below, frozen lakes silent.
Good music for relaxation. Now that was a song called Flying by Avalon and Kate August Sean from the album called Voice of Comfort, Celtic Songs of Love. Look in my eyes, take my hand, don't look back on the land. If you believe, we'll be flying. In the afterglow, a lot of flying going on during this evening's show. A time of prayer and meditation with music, inspiration, and reflection. A time to relax, a time to listen. Listen to what you hear with your ears and with your heart. Thank you for joining me. I'm Father John, and we do this every weekday evening from 7 to 8 as we unwind, relax, collect our thoughts, and put life into perspective with a better picture of the world and our journey through it. Now turn on the light. You'll see better. God's love is personal. He knows each of us individually and loves us personally. His is a mighty love that has no beginning and no end. It is this experiencing of God's love that distinguishes Christianity from all other religions. Why does God love us? It is because of who He is. God is love. Night prayer is coming up, but first today's word. So let's delve into the Good News Gospel for today. Today is Thursday of the 10th week in Ordinary Time. Leave your offering there before the altar. Go and be reconciled with your brother first, and then come back and present your offering. Today's text shows how closely love of God and love of neighbor are linked. We cannot reject our neighbor and at the same time maintain a loving relationship with our merciful Father, from whom all reconciliation comes. We cannot be in conflict with our neighbor and still on good terms with God. Our worship of God becomes a mockery if we are at loggerheads with one another. Better not to worship at all if we are pursuing an ongoing quarrel with another child of God. It is a sad irony that in many parts of the world, the Christian faith seems to create conflict rather than extinguish it. One wonders how warring factions reconcile their hatred with these words of Jesus, the man they claim to follow. If we took these words at their face value, there would surely be times for most of us when, on our way to church, we would suddenly say to our family, "Must call on so-and-so, see you in church." And while the rest of the rather bewildered party continued on their way to Mass, we would rush around to someone's house and plead for reconciliation. Then, reconciled with our former enemy, we would sprint to church, arriving slightly late, very breathless, but worthy to share in the Lord's sacrifice. Reconciliation, of course, does not need to be that dramatic, but we must root out hatred before we approach the Lord. Otherwise, our worship is a waste of time. The sign of peace, given before the congregation feed together at the table of the Lord, makes this command of Jesus a part of the liturgy, drawing people together and compelling them to leave behind their petty disagreements. It is a sign which should not just be kept for church, but should reach out into the world beyond, helping to bring the reconciliation which Jesus ordered us to seek so urgently.
Sorry now, whose heart is aching for breaking each bond, who's sad and blue, who's crying too.